I should probably watch my language, shouldn't I?
Well, you know, so far I have produced clean episodes, which is amazing to me. Because I put
I mean, it's
no
amazing to me.
I put no restrictions on anyone.
Okay, well, this may be your first explicit tagged
Yeah.
episode.
Welcome to this Bible podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in.
Sam Parks, and I am the pastor at Mary Esther United Methodist Church, which is on the Emerald Coast of Florida, the Panhandle. It's tough to have a church at the beach, but somebody has to do it. So, he, him, his are my pronouns. And what else? Probably the primary clergy agitator for Reconciling Ministries in our annual conference. And I'm the vice president of PFLAG Niceville, which is our local PFLAG chapter, providing support, education, and advocacy for LGBTQIA plus people and their allies. So that's me.
So glad you're here.
Enneagram 7.
Yeah. John 11, verse 45 through 57.
Therefore, many of the Jews who came with Mary and saw what Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called together the council and said, "What are we going to do? This man is doing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. Then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our people." One of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, told them, "You don't know anything. You don't see that it is better for you that one man die for the people rather than the whole nation be destroyed." He didn't say this on his own. As high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would soon die for the nation. And not only for the nation, Jesus would also die so that God's children scattered everywhere would be gathered together as one. From that day on, they plotted to kill him. Therefore, Jesus was no longer active in public ministry among the Jewish leaders. Instead, he left Jerusalem and went to a place near the wilderness, to a city called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. It was almost time for the Jewish Passover, and many people went from the countryside up to Jerusalem to purify themselves through ritual washing before the Passover. They were looking for Jesus. And as they spoke to each other in the temple, they said, "Well, what do you think? He won't come to the festival, will he?" The chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who knew where he was should report it so they could arrest him. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Wow.
That is such. There are some, like, we could spend forever this talking about this. But the thing that really, there's two things that really just scream at me in this passage. One is that God prophesied through the chief priest Caiaphas, right? That God can even use really the most dastardly person, right, to speak the truth. You
Yeah.
know, that God prophesies through Caiaphas that Jesus will soon die for the nation, but not only for the nation, but that so God's children everywhere that are scattered could be united into one. And, you know, that's just amazing.
It is, it's pretty phenomenal.
The thing that precipitates this is like this passage begins right after Jesus, referring to Lazarus having been raised from the dead, says, untie him and let him go. And so here you have this amazing experience of the abundance of life that is present in Jesus, and what it triggers is just this inexorable slalom toward death, you know?
Right. It's this like liberative act
Yes.
that just says like, oh, we cannot have this. You
That's
know,
it.
it because I think, don't know how often we would admit this, but we long for death. Like I don't
Ooh.
mean like we want to die, but I mean like we long for the things that aren't life-giving, right? Those things like we're like,
Absolutely.
oh, I really want to get this. And so, like, we see something just liberative and life-giving, and we find so many reasons why that is bad.
And it this happens the day, was it Sunday night, the Academy Awards, where Will Smith gets up and smacks the ever-living doolally out of Chris Rock. And Denzel Washington told him this true thing, right? That the devil always comes for you at your highest moment, And here's Jesus enacting, embodying this liberative, life-giving purpose, over against death-dealing powers. And the death-dealing powers are like, no, we're gonna go in harder, right? We're gonna go in harder. I'm always just confounded at how this story in John's gospel, because now we're gonna go for six chapters that are excruciatingly slow, but are key, so important, right, for the church. But we know where the story's going. We know where the story is going, and so the interest comes in how do we get there? There are two things that I think, as a liturgical Christian, I know you will appreciate this. I hope you do. That I think that the Christian year teaches us what God thinks is really important. And we have the Advent Christmas cycle, an Epiphany cycle, which reminds us that God's word always wants to become flesh. And then we have the Lent, Easter, and Pentecost cycle, which reminds us that God always wants to raise the dead. Always. And, it's what part of what we get to do as Christians, as pastors, as what we get to do as pastors, not in place of the people, but to model for them how to name God, right, into the life-giving places that we see. And sometimes they are hard to see, but they are powerful, right?
Right.
They are powerful to see the grace of God at work, never just solving the problem of death, but always rising to meet it, always rising to meet it. And that's what we get to do,
Yeah.
as Christians. And yeah, Lazarus, in the other gospels, in the synoptic gospels, it's Jesus cleansing the temple that kind of causes his death. But in this gospel, of course, John shifts that to the beginning to kind of say this is his opening motif. But this is the thing that causes his road to the cross, right? This is the thing, the raising of Lazarus, when
Right.
they're just like, this
It's
shit
so
is too
crazy.
good, we can't fight it.
Well, and they're like, if he keeps this up, they're going to believe in him. Like, yeah, that line just blows my mind, right? Like,
and then the Romans are going to come and we're going to lose our churches. We're going to lose our real estate, right? Everyone's going to leave. We won't have butts in pews. You know, we won't have a church. We won't have, I mean, even though I'm like anachronizing it, you know, we won't have a church. We won't have people to support the budget. And, you know, but Jesus is just so often working out. I mean, Jesus is everywhere working outside of our religious context.
Oh yeah. They're like, oh, they're going to take our things.
Yeah.
It's yeah. like, I don't care about your things. I care about our people.
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't care about just our people when we talk about like who's in and who's out, which I think is another thing that our churches could learn from, right? It's like, no. I don't just exist as a pastor to like care for people when they're sick. I absolutely want to care for people when they're sick, mm-hmm. but I also want to care for the sick who are not members of my congregation.
Yes. In other, yeah. Everything we do in the church is should be so that, right? We learn how to care for each other here so that, you know, we can go out, right, and care for the world, right? Every time we gather together for communion and, you know, we have this little meal, right? It is so that we remember the presence of the risen Christ at every meal, right?
Right.
And there's something else about that phrase, so that, and I'll, you know, try not to get too far into this kind of thing. I know that your listeners are probably not that interested, but they say that, you know, the Romans will come and they will take our tapas and our ethnos, our place and our people, right? Mm-hmm. Our group, right? Right. And Jesus is always, and you know, the purpose, you know, Jesus' purpose in his death is to gather the scattered children that aren't part of any ethnos, yeah. No ethnicity, right? Or every ethnicity, every place. And churches so often are rooted to tapas and ethnos, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that can be the most fearful. That can be the most fearful thing. You know, what happens at the cross? You know, the atonement or whatever we call it. You know, what, in other words, what, you know, what does it do? It unites the scattered children, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a mystery as to how, but it's just so, I love that idea.
I do too. And I think, you know, the challenge for me is that I say like, oh yeah, those jackwagons, like, I can't believe them. And I forget like how much I am immersed in that, how much time I spend not wanting to be slowed down by, you know, somebody who's not part of my group. I think that's a good word for us, right? Is like, be willing to be slowed down and be patient, you know, and because Jesus is willing to do that.
Well, that's it. And that, like, if God can speak the truth through Caiaphas, then, you know, God's plan is, it is irrevocable, right? Yeah. And now, and not in the same way of, it's, I'm not talking about a predestinarian kind of thing, but that God's intention, God is unwilling for God's intention to be foiled. So relax.
Right. Okay. It's not going to come because I forced it to. So often try to like, oh, yeah, this church plant's going to happen through force of will. Like,
yeah. Yeah. In fact, it's not going to go as well as it probably could.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, just let the Holy Spirit work. Sit down.
Yeah.
And then when the Holy Spirit invites you, get up and join.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I got a place for you to go in Ephraim in the wilderness, and you just need to chill out. Okay.
It's a good word.
That is a word.
Well, my friend, thank you. What a gift.
Absolutely. What a gift. This is just delicious, isn't
let's
it?
Let's do this again sometime.
Like, I could just, yes. I need me a round belly bait full of this.
Will you pray for us before you go?
Absolutely. Holy Spirit, you are coursing in and among our lives in ways that we can never tell. Your grace happens in ways that we don't perceive, and I can just imagine you just laughing at how we are carried along on this river of grace. Thank you so much for allowing us to just see it and feel it for a few minutes, to find ourselves carried along on the river of grace, navigated by your word for a little bit. Thank you for this sister. Thank you for our common ministry. Thank you for Jesus. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, sis. Love you.
Love you too.